Live from the College of Communication, Arts and Sciences at Michigan State University, it is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's current sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a sorry receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shut fake one time.
We talking about practice, not a game.
And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Looking in the mirror. But I look good. I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cat.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
What is up, beautiful people? That's right. It is about that time. Happy Tuesday, October 16th, 2018. You are now tuned into WKAR's Current Sports, coming to you live here on WKAR AM 870 105.1 FM, or you may be listening right now or watching on our Facebook page at facebook.com/WKAR News, or you may be even listening courtesy of the podcast version of the show, which you can listen to at WKAR.org. However you may be tuned in, I'm just glad that you are. All right, we've got a great show coming your way. It is Rivalry Week. Say that five times fast, right? Michigan and Michigan State getting it on come this Saturday afternoon, a noon kickoff at Spartan Stadium. That is the talk of the town here in East Lansing. Thank you, Ray. Beat the Bullies, right? That's the talk of the town here in East Lansing, Michigan, as the Spartans right now sit as 7-point dogs against Jim Harbaugh and the Wolverines. And, you know, this is one of those weeks. No, it's a fun week. Don't get me wrong. It's an incredibly fun week because, you know, when you talk about the backyard brawl, this in-state rivalry between the maize and blue and the green and white, you know, it's fun. You know, you get to trash talk with some of your coworkers or maybe even family members who either rock the green and white or the maize and blue, and whatever you rock, you get to talk some trash to the opposition. You know, it starts off friendly during the week, you know, this mutual respect is there, but it's like as the week goes on, the trash talk ramps up as the excitement and anticipation, as that draws nearer and nearer to kickoff time, and it can be ugly. It can get really ugly come like Thursday, Friday, especially Saturday morning. It's like you don't even want to talk to anybody that does not rock with your team. I totally get that. And, you know, I'm seeing now on social media that there's been some fans out there who have taken it a little bit too far, you know. And I feel like every year we talk about this, some kind of hallmark in the world of Michigan State or the University of Michigan being vandalized.
You
well,
can humble yourself.
Yeah. All of us need to humble ourselves here, Ray, because some just take it way too far, all right? Stay humble and just talk trash. Why do you got to go and vandalize? That's just going way too far. But, hey, you know, it just adds more fuel to the fire. I'll bring that story to you. And, of course, it is Tuesday. And each and every Tuesday morning at the Tom and Loopy Izzo Media Center, Mark D'Antonio holds his weekly press conference previewing that week's matchup. You'll get a chance to hear a bit of what Coach D'Antonio had to say this morning as his Spartans prepare for this big game against in-state rival Michigan. And our very own Zachary Swiezicki, he was at the presser. He's going to join me in studio to have a brief postscript on that press conference as captains were made available after D'Antonio spoke. But usually in the evening around 6 p.m., players are made available, and us media members get a chance to go down to the Duffy Doherty Center and talk with the players one-on-one. Well, that's not happening. that is not happening this week because it is rivalry week. I mean, we all know the reason why, right? It's rivalry week. Mark D'Antonio wants his team focused. Talk to the media one time, get it out the way, and let's prepare for this big game on Saturday, all right? So just the captains were made available, and that's it. That is it. We will not hear from Coach D'Antonio or his players until the dust has settled on that matchup. All right, so we'll have some thoughts on that. Also, we will have two guests on today's Current Sports, two new members of Lansing's very own ABA basketball team, Greg Roy, who used to ball out for Tom Izzo squad, and also Cameron Sanchez of the Lansing Legends ABA Hoops team, will be joining me live in studio around 1:30. You don't want to miss that. And then on the back end of the show, we'll talk some NFL. How about Aaron Rodgers? Oh, boy. Aaron Rodgers just continues to show why I believe he's the best quarterback in the game of football. No offense to Tom Brady. Tom Brady, greatest quarterback to ever play the game. But Aaron Rodgers, he just operates on an entirely different level right now. What a win. And what a game that was. Green Bay over San Francisco last night. All right, we'll have a big picture look at the NFL on the back end of the show. All right. All of that while, of course, inviting you all to be a part of the fun multiple ways in which you can weigh in. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527 is the number to call. You can also go to our Facebook page, again, facebook.com/WKAR News, comment below the live stream, and you can tweet us. Tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR, or tweet the show at WKAR_sports. Here are your quick hit headliners.
Trouble with the snap, and the ball is free. It's picked up by Michigan State's Jalen Watts Jackson, and he scores on the last play of the game. Unbelievable.
Yo, shout out to Jack Kerwin behind the glass, engineer for today's Current Sports. Jack, I feel like we should like do that every day to start our headliners, like have some historical moment in the Michigan and Michigan State rivalry before I give my spiel on the hit quick hit headliners. How about that?
That can be arranged.
That's awesome. I like
that. Yeah, we can do that.
Love that. All right. Well, speaking of Michigan State football, Michigan State put together, again, one of its best overall defensive efforts of the season on Saturday in a 21-17 victory over Penn State. We covered that extensively on Monday's Current Sports, and it resulted in a first-time honor for the local kid. Safety Kari Willis, the senior captain, was named Big Ten Defensive Player of the Week yesterday. Willis had a season-high 9 tackles, including 7 solo stops, while forcing a fumble on Penn State quarterback Trace McSorley in the first quarter. Willis also had a pass breakup. The Spartans held Penn State to season lows in points, 17, and first downs, 14. All right, Michigan State and Purdue, the Boilermakers, and the Spartans will kick off at noon on October 27th. A TV network has not formally been announced yet, but it will likely be either the Big Ten Network or Fox Sports 1. Purdue has not beaten Michigan State since a 17-15 win in 2006 in East Lansing. There have been a lot of off years in between, however, as the Spartan win streak is only at 7 in a row. And as I mentioned, you know, this rivalry can get a bit ugly between Michigan and Michigan State. Somebody spray painted the Block M at the, the Block M at the University of Michigan Diag over the weekend, 1 week before the rivalry game. The Block M followed by S and U. Get it? M, S, and then U. All painted in green, of course. U of M. Campus police said they haven't made any arrests. Does anybody get arrested for these things? I can't recall one time. Remember the whole Magic Johnson statue thing? Did they ever catch whatever John Smith spray painted that thing? That never happens, right, Jack?
No, I don't think they ever caught that guy. I mean, they do it in the dark at night, you know, and if nobody's there, then right. How are you ever going to find the guy?
Exactly. So who knows who spray painted the Block M at the University of Michigan Diag, but campus police are investigating, right? No suspects right now in the vision of the campus police. In 2015, again, MSU's Sparty statue was painted maize and blue, which are the team colors. Of course, a U of M. A U of M fraternity reported to the Diag later on Sunday to prevent a repeat of the vandalism. And this is when I don't get, correct me if I'm wrong here. I don't know if you guys saw this. I saw that the Rock was painted today. Have you guys seen that? The Rock was painted with a yellow. I'm just going to call it yellow. I don't like maize. A yellow M. But it's like if you paint the Rock, that's what you're supposed to do. So it's like, I don't, that one doesn't have the same feel as painting or spray painting the University of Michigan Diag with MSU. But I saw that today. I believe the state news reported that this morning, that the Rock was painted with a yellow M on it. So, yeah, there you have that. At least that one was legal because you can paint the Rock. That's what it's meant to do. All right. The Red Wings. Oh, man, this is ugly, isn't it? The Winged Wheel struggling right now. Six games into their season, the Detroit Red Wings have yet to win. Where the first week saw them at least look competitive, the second week has seen them run out of buildings, humiliated. As bad as it was over the weekend to explain an 8-2 shellacking at Boston, 2 days later, the Wings had to parse a 7-3 loss at Montreal. All right, I want to have some brief thoughts on the Wings in just a moment. I think it's a fair question to ask this, Jack. Who gets a win first, the Detroit Pistons or the Detroit Red Wings? Because the Pistons open the season tomorrow against
the
Nets.
Who do they play?
The Nets, the Brooklyn Nets.
Oh, I'd bet the Pistons. Yeah,
right.
I'd bet the Pistons.
That'd be a safe bet.
The Wings are in a brutal October now. I don't know if they'll get a win in October. Honestly,
yeah, it's tough. I mean, they are starting off really, really bad. All right. The Detroit Lions placed return man and slot corner Jamal Agnew on injured reserve yesterday. Head coach Matt Patricia stopped short of saying Agnew's season is over. Agnew injured his left knee in the Lions' Week 5 win over the Green Bay Packers. Asked if Agnew required season-ending surgery, Matty Patty said the Lions are still, quote, going through the process right now to evaluate him, end quote. Agnew, who was initially feared to have torn his ACL, will miss at least 8 games for the 2-3 Lions, according to the Detroit Free Press. And Aaron Rodgers led the Green Bay Packers to a walk-off field goal to complete a fourth-quarter comeback for a 33-30 victory over the San Francisco 49ers last night on Monday Night Football at Lambeau Field. Green Bay needed a touchdown with just under 2 minutes left to tie the score after the Packers got the ball back on cornerback Kevin King's interception. Now, Rodgers then drove the offense nearly the length of the field to set up Mason Crosby for the game winner. He needed that right after what happened against the Detroit Lions. With the win, the Packers improved to 3-2-1 heading into their bye week. Aaron Rodgers, A-A-Ron, finished 25 of 46 for 425 yards with 2 TDs and no interceptions, a 100.4 passer rating. Le'Veon Bell, it just keeps on getting interesting with the drama when it comes to Bell, doesn't it? Despite rumors of Bell returning to the Pittsburgh Steelers during their bye week, a source tells ESPN's Adam Schefter, the Steelers are not expecting him to return this week. The Steelers are on their bye and players are off Thursday through Sunday. Sources told ESPN's Jeremy Fowler earlier this month that Bell intended to report to the Steelers during the week 7-8 time frame. Bell told Fowler, quote, I miss football. When I do get back, I plan to give it my all. I still do want to go out there and win a Super Bowl with the Steelers, end quote. Bell could next report October 22nd. Steelers' next game is October 28th against the Cleveland Browns. Ah, the NBA season. This is like Christmas, at least for me. The NBA's 73rd year tips off today with a star-studded matchup. At 8 p.m., the Celtics will host the Philadelphia 76ers. At 10:30, the Golden State Warriors will take on the Oklahoma City Thunder from Oracle Arena. Excitement is swirling around the NBA community, but one writer sees right through it. Dave Barry, columnist for Forbes.com, writes, quote, for most teams, the NBA season ends before it begins. Barry cites the 17th annual NBA.com GM survey, where the Warriors are picked to three-peat, while Boston and Houston were given slight chances to win the 2019 NBA Finals. And I can't argue with Barry. I mean, that's the thing. You look at a team like the Golden State Warriors, and how can you pick any other roster in the league to go all the way and win an NBA championship. All right, and the Milwaukee Brewers take a 2-1 lead in the NLCS against the Dodgers, shutting them out last night. Ryan Braun, he doubled home. Christian Yelich and Travis Shaw scored on a passed ball to give the Brewers a 2-0 lead. Then Orlando Arcia, he used his third home run of the postseason to give the Brewers a 4-0 lead. All right, that wraps up your current sports quick hit headliners. Again, multiple ways in which you can be a part of the show. Pick up the phone and dial 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Go to facebook.com/WKAR News and weigh in there. And you can tweet us. Tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR, or tweet the show at WKAR_sports. Also want to note today's MLB playoff slate. You got Boston and Houston going at it. That series tied at one game apiece. 5:09 p.m. first pitch. And then later on this evening, Milwaukee and L.A. will go at it once again. Milwaukee again with a 2-1 lead. That will be, again, a 9:09 p.m. first pitch. You can catch that one on Fox Sports 1, Boston and Houston on TBS. Here we go.
Davis, short side left. Larice Nelson and Hayes set to the right. Snap back to Brian Lewerke. Lofts it. Left sideline. Caught.
Touchdown!
He has scored. Touchdown, MSU. 19 seconds to play.
Wow!
All right, George Blaha and Jason Strayhorn on the call there. We've talked about it extensively. That was pretty much our entire show on Monday as Michigan State shocked the world, right? Shocked the world beating Penn State, a top 10 victory for Mark D'Antonio and his Spartans. And now we must turn the page. Sure, it was nice out in Happy Valley. Big win. A win that we did not see coming for the Spartans. Mark D'Antonio's 10th top 10 victory. That's amazing. Got an opportunity to make it 11 against the Michigan Wolverines come this Saturday afternoon at Spartan Stadium. And we're getting you prepped all week here on Current Sports. I want to hear from you guys out there. All right, heck, even if you want to call in, maybe talk some trash to those out in Ann Arbor or even some of those out in here in East Lansing. You know, wherever you fall on that fandom radar, whether you're a U of M fan or a Michigan State fan, call in. Talk some trash. Keep it clean. All right? FCC compliant trash talk. Cough mark, right? Cough, cough mark. Please, we would love to hear from you guys. And I'm working on some things right now throughout the week. I'm hoping to get at least two former Michigan State football players who have played in this rivalry matchup. And I'm working on maybe two former Michigan players. All right. So hopefully I'm working on it. No guarantees yet. So I don't want to announce anything, but want to let you guys know that. So, again, you keep it locked throughout this week. It's going to be a fun week, but it can get a bit nasty. All right. Vandalism is not OK. Not OK. Not cool. That's crossing a line. All right, Spartan fans and Michigan fans, just keep it clean. Keep it clean, guys. But, again, we're prepping you throughout this entire week. And in just a moment, I want to play the press conference of Mark D'Antonio from this morning as D'Antonio spoke to reporters, previewing this matchup. And right now, before we toss to this audio, I have live here in studio, we've got Current Sports PA and a reporter, longtime friend of the show, formerly of Impact Sports, Zachary Swiezicki, who is actually in the house at Spartan Stadium to witness that press conference. First off, Zach, how you doing, my man? Happy Tuesday.
I'm doing good. Happy Tuesday.
Happy rivalry week, I should say, right? And first off, how many reporters were in the building? Because I was listening on the radio, and I heard a lot of voices. I know it was probably packed, right?
It was packed. I mean, you had everyone from across the state, West Michigan, Detroit,
yeah,
radio, TV, everyone was there. And did you hear there's no depth charts?
There is no depth chart. Surprise, surprise, yeah, right? Exactly. Jim Harbaugh didn't release one yesterday during his press conference. Did you catch Jim Harbaugh's press conference yesterday? It almost put me to sleep. I'm thinking about using it. If I need to fall asleep, I may just put on that press conference for Monday.
Some people like waves,
right?
Birds. Just put on Jim Harbaugh's press conference.
Just put on Jim Harbaugh's press conferences. I mean, he gives you nothing. It was just really just monotone and just boring. And credit to him, though, because he has his players in check when it comes to this week. They didn't give any bulletin board material. And I'm sure after Mark D'Antonio spoke with three captains and, you know, Bocci, Lewerke and Willis, I'm sure they didn't give any bulletin board material. Both sides are just, I think we've hit a point this season at least, Zach, where the players and coaches are like, okay, trash talk and the drama, that's old hat. We're just trying to play the game and win the game now. I feel like we've reached that point at least this year. I feel like I'm getting that vibe, Zach.
Yeah, and, you know, Harbaugh didn't say much, but Mark D'Antonio came out and said, you know, the last 3 years has been maybe the most clean. Mm-hmm. This rivalry has been on the field, at least.
Exactly.
And he attributed that to Harbaugh, said Harbaugh respects the game as much as anyone, and he said it was good for college football.
Mm-hmm.
And when you watch the games, I mean, you kind of have to agree. I mean, it's been very clean games, and that's been so close.
Mm-hmm.
I would agree, you know, it's pretty good for college football.
What were some of your biggest takeaways from this morning? Before we throw to this audio, big takeaways from Mark D'Antonio's press conference.
From Mark D'Antonio, I mean, it was much of the same. I mean, gave a little bit more than Harbaugh, but it was still not going to talk about injuries, which there are still a list of on this team. Didn't really want to talk about, you know, why LJ Scott isn't playing. Didn't want to go down that road again. No injury talk. So my biggest takeaway was he loves it. He loves the chip on the shoulder. He loves the underdog mentality. And even if 7 points isn't huge in college football as far as the spread's concerned, but you say they're an underdog and guess what? He's going to keep pushing that to his players. And he was kind of smug after the win against Penn State. All the talk about how his quote before was 40 runs, 40 carries, and they usually win. He said, well, we got to 36, I think, after the game. And he kind of carried over into the press conference. So he's eating all of this up.
You know, when I was tweeting as I was listening to the press conference, he had one quote that I loved, and he kind of took a jab at all of those who criticized him last week after the loss on homecoming against Northwestern. And, you know, he basically said, quote, last week, this is a direct quote, I brought the tweet up right here, quote, last week, I need to adapt better, and this week, I'm a genius. I love that.
Yeah.
Because it's like, you know, it just goes to show how reactionary we are in the sports world today. And D'Antonio is a man who, again, you may have your own thoughts about this, your own opinions about this, you know, loyal to a fault, hard-headed, you know, needs to adjust. But at the end of the day, I mean, D'Antonio's track record kind of speaks for itself, Zach.
And it's kind of in its own category.
Right, it is.
Michigan State, because he is extremely loyal to a fault in some cases. Saw that 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
But loyal to his scheme, loyal to his coaches around him. It just, I don't think there's going to be much that changes within MSU's football team while he's here.
Right.
I don't know what that, I mean, you can't predict what's going to happen. You can predict what they're going to do leading up to the game. I don't know if that's going to result in a win come Saturday, but he's going to want to run the ball. He's going to want to play tough defense. And at the end of the day, he's going to say, well, I did what I said I was going to do.
You'll have a full write-up on WKAR.org later on, and we won't hear from Kari Willis, Brian Lewerke, and Joe Bocci right now, but you stayed, of course, and got audio from those three. Anything sexy that they said? What was kind of the tone there?
It was weird, to be honest.
It was?
Because normally it's, I mean, you've experienced it.
Yeah, normally it's a media scrum.
You just talk to players one-on-one. It's personal. It's normal. Mm-hmm. Players aren't used to sitting up on the podium. I mean, you get a little bit of that post-game, but Kari Willis had wanted no part of that. Every single time it'd be, well, Joe Bocci or Kari, this question's for you. Kari would just look at Joe, say, well, are you going to answer it? And, I mean, Bocci was pretty, I mean, being from Ohio, you know, it was a rivalry. He was a little bit more animated about it. Kari Willis was straight to the point, knew what he wanted to say.
Right.
And Brian Lewerke, I thought, the only point from him was, and you could kind of tell throughout the game, watching against Penn State, he said, I didn't know which wide receivers were going to be on the field come the next drive because every single wide receiver was getting hurt. And he did, the biggest note from that, I would say, he did like the continuity of the offensive line throughout the game, played the same five guys throughout the entire Penn State game.
Okay. All right. So, again, there. We have a caller. Before I throw to this audio, we do have a caller right now on line one. We've got Cam from Okemos is what that wants to talk about Coach D. Cam, you are on Current Sports. What's up?
Hey, Al. How you doing?
I'm doing well, my man. Happy Tuesday.
Thank you. Yourself. I don't like how Coach D'Antonio goes out and says, you know, he's a genius this week. I beg to differ. I think there was a lot of flaws. I think that was a very bad win from a very bad team. They're still running the ball too much as they stack the box. They're still not making plays. Brian Lewerke looks lost. You know, the offense completely looks incompetent. And quite frankly, usually I'm not this guy, but I'm going to be that guy. The flags save MSU so much. Penn State bailed them out big time. So I'm not ready to say Coach D is quite a genius. Yes, it's a huge win, but I really do have my hesitation. Thanks for taking the call, Al.
Cam, appreciate the call. Zach, I want to debate that real quick. You heard what Cam had to say, and I'm not going that far. As far as, you know, Cam saying, you know, it was a bad win. A win is a win. You know, when you knock off a top 10 team, that's no fluke. Sure, some things went Michigan State's way, but a win is a win. Nobody thought Michigan State had a chance in this game. I predicted like something like 31-14 on Friday. However, that being said, as I noted on yesterday's Current Sports with Alec, there were about, I counted at least four times when Brian Lewerke should have been picked off, including the game-winning drive before Felton Davis, before that play, that game-winning go-ahead touchdown. Earlier on in that drive, Brian Lewerke threw a right to the DB. Game should have been over there. And again, I counted three other times prior to that. Also, the run game still isn't there. There's so many injuries on this team, as you noted. LJ Scott, I don't know if he, and breaking news, if you saw Nick Bosa of Ohio State, he's done. Nick Bosa is not playing anymore at Ohio State. He is taking his talents to the NFL. And maybe we see that with LJ Scott, right? I mean, we haven't seen LJ Scott all this season. It's kind of like a mystery. What's wrong with LJ? Is he going to be back this week? Who knows? But there were just some little details that went Michigan State's way. A lot of drop passes that were right in the pockets of the DBs for Penn State that could have totally changed the conversation on Monday's Current Sports, Zach. So I see what Cam's saying, but at the end of the day, a win is a win.
A win is a win. And again, when you're on the road against a top 10 team in Penn State, who I thought, I mean, ranked eighth, easily could have been higher. You lose by 1 point to the second best team in the country.
Right.
I get the caller's point, maybe saying it's a little bit of a fluke. I wouldn't go as far as to say Michigan State's a bad team, but there's still not enough to say they've changed since Northwestern lost. Brian Lewerke came out and said today as well, they needed that loss and maybe the best thing to happen for them. And then you have to go back and question, well, what were you doing before then? You have a team that returned 19 of 22 starters. Was that the coaching staff? Why were the players not ready?
Yeah.
There's a lot of things to question that you need a players-only meeting halfway through the season to kind of question those around you. So I do get the point. That was a little bit of a fluke, but again, a top 10 win on the road, you're going to need some things to go your way. And you look at the game and you rewatch it, there were things that went Penn State's way as well throughout the game.
Yeah.
So it goes 50-50. The fourth quarter, James Franklin needs a lot of questioning for that.
Oh, my goodness. James Franklin, that fourth quarter, he made a lot of coaching mistakes there.
He did.
Calling was very vanilla. He was playing not to lose. You know what I mean? And I think that, you know, when you look at – when you go back, and I went back, you know, last night, you know, before I hit the hay and just kind of watched some parts of that fourth quarter, and I said, wow, MSU really was fortunate. And I'm concerned about Brian Lewerke, Zach.
No.
Yeah. I am concerned about Brian Lewerke. If Brian throws those kind of balls that we saw Saturday, you think that Don Brown-led defense is going to drop those footballs? I don't know. I don't know, man. And it's why I chose Michigan to win this game in a close one, though.
I think a lot of people are going to be choosing Michigan, especially if it stays 7 points or a little bit under.
Yeah.
A lot of people are going to be on that spread, at least. It's going to be I've had people asking me, what do you think is going to happen? I think out of all of the years that I've covered this team,
right,
I have no idea what's going to happen.
Unpredictable, right?
I have no idea what's going to happen.
Jack, you have some thoughts. Before we hit this first break and get to our guest for today's Current Sports, you've been listening to this. You heard what Cam had to say. Your thoughts on this?
Well, I think Cam was onto something, but I certainly think he overstated it. Yeah, there were a litany of errors from that Penn State football game on Saturday. But any time you face a top 10 team on the road, when you're missing half your damn team, I mean, outside of Felton Davis, it was like a bunch of YMCA guys lining up at receiver. There was no Daryl Stewart. There was no Cody White. There's no Jalen Naylor. And even Brandon Sowards went down with an injury. You're missing your top cornerback. You're missing your top tailback. Sure, you got lucky. But at the same time, to win that game on the road against a top 10 team, I mean, you got to give Coach D some credit for that. I mean, I'm not willing to go nearly as far as Cam was on that phone call. I think he was onto something, but he was overstating it.
To win that kind of game with again, a roster, as I stated yesterday, that's put together with, like, cotton balls and spit, Zach. I mean, it was impressive. It was very – and you know what's so ironic? The interception that Brian Lewerke did throw wasn't even his fault. There were four times that clearly it should have been picked off, but the one he did throw, it hits the injured hand of Cam Chambers and just falls right into the DB's pocket. And I said, wow, that really wasn't even Brian's fault. So we'll see what happens. We will see what happens on Saturday, folks. Again, throughout this week, that is the main conversation. It is rivalry week. Michigan State, Michigan. I want to hear from you guys. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Let's hit our first break right now. When we come back, we will invite our two guests here on today's Current Sports. We've got Greg Roy and Cameron Sanchez, both of the ABA's Lansing Legends. They're getting ready to play the season right around the corner for the Legends. We'll talk with them. And again, I promise you, we'll get to Mark D'Antonio's press conference later on this hour as well. You are listening to WKAR's Current Sports. All right, welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. We have been talking about the big game. Saturday at noon, Michigan State will play host to the Michigan Wolverines. Yeah, it's rivalry week, folks, and this is a week where things can get a bit nasty. I'm sure some trash is being talked right now in offices all across this great state. We want you to bring that trash talk to Current Sports. Keep it clean, though. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Much love to those who are tuned in right now on our Facebook page at facebook.com/WKAR News and commenting below that video. I'll get to a few of those comments later on this hour. And you can also tweet us. Tweet me directly at Al Martin WKAR or tweet the show at WKAR_sports. But right now I want to get to our guest for today's Current Sports. As you guys know, these past few weeks we have been inviting the great James Manuel and representatives from the Lansing Legends. This is the very first year of the Lansing Legends ABA basketball team, ABA, coming to the mid-Michigan area. This is something that this area has never seen before. James has been on multiple times to pub it. Last week, we had some cheerleaders on to talk about cheerleader tryouts, and we also talked about the roster that has now been set for the Lansing Legends. And now we have three more representatives from the team. We have players, Greg Roy and Cameron Sanchez, and also assistant coach Mike Dobson. Fellas, how you guys doing?
Feeling good. Happy to be here.
Season right around the corner. I mean, to see this thing go from, and I'll start with you, Mike, to see this thing go from just kind of an idea, you know, from James to where it is now, and you guys are now just weeks away from your very first game. I mean, how do you put into words your anticipation for that first game?
Very excited. Started from scratch, started from ground up to right now, to see where it's at. I think that we got something going on right now. I think something's going to happen exciting for the city of Lansing.
Now, the roster is set, right?
The roster is set. We got some good players. We got some young. We got some veterans. We got a mix. So I think it's going to gel real good. I think we're going to get up and down. I think it's going to still be a fast-paced game, even with the veterans there. I just can't wait.
Take us through that very first tryout. To where you guys are now with a solidified roster. What was it like trying to find who were the right guys for this team?
Man, first tryout, a lot of guys came out. It was a lot of good competition. But to sit down with amongst the other coaches and try to gel each other heads together, because the kind of coach staff you put together, we all got different flavors. Mm-hmm. We all, you know, defense to the offense. We all gel. We sat down. We racked each other brain. A lot of meetings, a whole lot of meetings.
A lot of meetings,
a
right?
A lot of them. And we broke it down to, I think we got the right guys that can gel with each other, fit together. We like a family. We got a chaplain, so we pray all the time. So, and I think, you know, with the help of prayer, we ready.
Preach
we ready.
On, brother. Preach we on. Ready. All right, well, we got two of the Lansing Legends players right now live in studio with us. Again, Greg Roy. Cameron Sanchez. I'll start with Cameron here. Cameron, can you talk about and again introduce yourself to the area here on Current Sports? Give me your basketball background and why did you want to become a member of the Lansing Legends in his first year?
Well, like you said, I'm Cameron Sanchez. I grew up around here, been here for all my life. Went to Lansing Eastern, played there all 4 years. Played JV my first year. Was a varsity my last 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
Lost to the champions my senior year in Kalamazoo Central. Other than that, I want to be a part of Lansing Legends because I want to actually further my basketball career now, and I feel like this is a great opportunity to do it.
And how old are you, if you mind me asking, Cameron?
I'm 26.
26 right now. Sure. What's the dream? What's the hoop dream for you? Do you want to go and possibly earn a spot on the G League or make it to the NBA? What's the big goal here when it comes to the Legends?
Really just to get paid to play anywhere.
Right.
G League, overseas, take care of my family. That's the goal.
There you go, right? Yes, that's sir. The goal for all of us, right?
Yes, sir.
All right. Thank you so much, Cameron. And for you, Greg Roy, you're very familiar to the area, okay. Seeing as though, again, you're a former hooper for Tom Izzo's MSU men's basketball team. Can you take us through the end of your college career to where you are now playing for the Legends and why you wanted to embark on playing for the ABA's Lansing Legends as well?
Well, I've always loved the game. Just starting from when I was 7, you know, I always wanted to start off competing with my brother. And, you know, I just, you know, built from there. So, like, I, on a personal level, I just believe that, like, I was put on this earth to do basketball, and through basketball, I was put on this earth to motivate people in that lane. So I feel like at the end of my college career.
Which was, what year was that, Greg?
It was 2017.
Right.
So, like, after that, I still wanted to play the game. I still love the game. So I wanted to see where I could go with it because, you know, I was still healthy. I still, you know, love the game, as I said. And I just, you know, I believed that I can, like Cam said, like I can get paid to play the sport. So,
So what was it like? Did you stay in the area here when you were done with your collegiate career here at Michigan State? Did you stay in the area, kind of stay closer to the program with Tom Izzo, or did you go and test the waters of the NBA? What happened after that?
My parents live here, like 10 minutes away from campus.
Right.
So, I was around, you know, still around the MSU basketball facility, so I use that a lot. I did try out for the couple of G League teams, and it didn't work out. So I feel like it's just God's plan, you know. I have to take a different route to get there. So,
mm-hmm. And for you, Greg, what did you learn when you were trying out for those G League teams? I feel like you get a chance to see the business side of what it's like trying to become a professional basketball player. What was that learning process like for you when you did try out for the G League?
It was just learning that, I have to believe in myself more and my abilities, because I wasn't always a charismatic player. You know, I'd usually like pass the ball and like, you know, just act like, you know, I was trying to get everybody involved.
Yeah.
But I realized through all those tryouts and stuff, like everybody's, you know, trying to get to where they're going, you know. So I had to compete. I had to, you know, put myself out there. I had to, advertise myself. And yeah, basically I just started to believe in myself a lot more once I, you know, got to the end of those tryouts. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I just coming to the semi-pro team, I'm going to exhibit a lot more of my confidence. I'm still going to, you know, pass the ball and share the ball because I like to do that. That's just me. But at the same time, you know,
you want to showcase what you can do.
I can showcase what I'm going to do, you know.
Right.
So that's just, a little bit of what I'm going to do on this team.
Mike, what kind of a stepping stone can the Lansing Legends be for players like Cam and Greg for where they want to go with their careers?
I think it would be a great stepping stone. Not because – why I say that, because of the coaches. Speaking on what he was saying, mm-hmm. you know, to elevate your game to something different. You know, me as a coach, I'm trying to elevate their game to something different. Not only give them confidence, but we get out there on that floor. And when we go do these drills, we go hard, but we do it the right way. Mm-hmm. We go step by step. Because the game is mental at the end of the day. The game is mental. If your mental is good and focused, mm-hmm. you can do anything. So that's basically what you got to do. We go in here, we're going to teach them how to be mental, how to do things fundamental, but get the job done. It's definitely a good stepping stone, because when the Legends came to me, you know, through Truth Recruiting, giving kids opportunity to get in college, showing them how to get in college and do paperwork, we got every aspect of the game. We got ministerial, far as being a minister, mm-hmm. preaching, showing you how to live life right, showing you how to go through life right. We got showing you how to do paperwork, computer work. We got tutors. Anything that you need, the Legends are going to have for you.
It's more than basketball,
right? It's more than basketball. It's bigger than basketball. Life is bigger than basketball, because just like he coming in, you know, he's giving back to the community.
Mm-hmm.
You know, his experience. It's going to be kids in the community, because it's all about the kids at the end of the day. Because somebody's looking at you, somebody's looking at me, and want to be you. So mm-hmm. we're trying to be positive. We're trying to get back to the community. And through all the programs that the Legends going to have, I think that we can build that. And I think you can go to the next level. So when you go to the next level, you know how to speak. You know how to talk. You know how to carry yourself. So it's just more than basketball to this. But we're going to get down to the fundamentals, and we're going to get down to it on that court. And come to the Legend game, and you're going to see it. Us jail as a family, us jail as a unit, and I think it's going to be a great thing.
And, Mike, real briefly, what is your basketball coaching background?
I coached. For one, I played in college. I went to Detroit, McKenzie High School, went to Mumford. Mm-hmm. Then I went to a Christian Academy school, graduated, went off to Great Lakes Christian College. That's right here in Lansing, right here in the Lansing City. It's a small Christian college. I played. Transferred to Central Michigan, decided to come back. I coached at Great Lakes for 4 years, Division II Christian College. So we all based around here in Lansing. So what the Legends did was bring us all together as a Lansing family and trying to build something big. I also coached the ABA team here in Lansing, the Lansing Sting. We coached that. Didn't work out too well. We won some games. But I think we're back on the right track to understand, because you got to fail in order to succeed. So I think we learned from that, and now we on. You know, we on track.
Right.
I think we on a good thing. I think good thing is going to happen, but we need the back of the city and all the people to come on and join with us.
Exactly.
And let's enjoy this and make this big and make this a great thing for the city and for our community and for the kids.
Love that. Thank you, Mike. And before we get you guys out of here, real quick, Cam, when you take the basketball court with the Lansing Legends, just kind of tell us about your game. What kind of player is Cam Sanchez?
I'm an all-around player. I play defense, though. I love defense.
You like defense. You're a defender. You're the lockdown defender then
for
the
team. Yes, sir.
Okay.
But I'm an all-around point guard also. I love to pass, run the team. I like to get, like you said, I like to get people involved, though.
Okay.
I want the team to succeed.
Sharing is caring, right?
Yes, sir.
You're a sharing point guard, and you'll lock up anybody that you go against.
Yes, sir.
All right, I love that. All right, Greg, what kind of player are you, my man?
I'm an all-around player like him. I just like to get people involved. But at the same time, you know, I'm going to score when I feel like I can score. So,
gotcha.
Yeah.
Mike, what is the identity of this team, or are you still figuring it out with your coaching staff right now?
You know what? The funny thing, like, is we meet all the time. We talk all night and day, coaches among each other, group chatting. we're trying to figure it out. But, you know, I think we all on the same line of getting the same thing done. We might take somewhat a different path, but we always end up at that same place.
Right.
And that's what makes it exciting, you know, mm-hmm. because if we all was just alike, it'd be boring.
So it would.
I would tell you this, it's not boring. You know, we rack each other brain every day. You know, we got a young coach, you know, and AJ, he's a young guy, you know. Me being an older guy, and I'm keep my age to myself.
You know,
I got a little gray hair.
22, right? 22.
I take it.
There you go. There you go.
but you know what? I think this identity is a family-based identity. Mm-hmm. And that's where it starts. You know, if you can build that link and that tight link and keep it tight, you
right.
can't break a link of a chain. And that's what we're going to be. We're going to be that tight link. And we for the players. And we generally care for the players.
Right.
So family base. I think that's where we at. I think all the coaches can agree with that. We all family. And we're willing to talk beyond basketball and, you know, sit with each other and watch TV and make it a family thing. And I think that's what's going to make us successful in
Definitely.
The long run.
All right, Mike Pub, that first game, when is it? How can fans go out to it? Just go ahead. I give you the form to do that.
www.legends.com, November 17th.
Mm-hmm. Against?
We're playing against the Whitehawks.
Gotcha. All right.
Muskegon Whitehawks.
Is that going to be in Detroit?
No, that's going to be here.
In Lansing. Okay. All right. Well, and we'll be sure as that date draws near, James is scheduled to come back on and, of course, to Pub that first game. Fellas, congratulations. I'm looking forward to seeing you guys on the hardwood. All right? Do your thing.
Yes, one more thing before
yeah.
we go.
Yeah.
Go green, go white.
Yeah. Real quick, Greg, with you being a former player for Michigan State, do you want to talk some trash to any U of M listeners out there? This is rivalry week, man. I'll give you the form to do. Or are you just like, nah, let's just play. I'll just watch the game.
Like he said, go green, go white. I ain't got no more to say. Go green, go white.
That's it. You keep it classy, huh?
Keep it clean, keep it classy.
Cam, you an MSU fan, I assume?
No, sir.
You're not?
No, sir.
Whoa, hold on. You're a U of M fan?
No, sir.
So you don't root for either one?
You don't want to know my team, man.
Who's your team? Real quick.
You better not say Alabama.
Ohio State Buckeye.
The Ohio State? Okay, that's no problem. Okay. Michigan State fans don't hate Ohio State fans. I think Michigan State fans just hate the maize and blue. If you roll with the Cats out in Ann Arbor, then it's a different story, okay?
No,
that's fine, though. I'm sorry about Nick Bosa. That news came out today. All right.
Sir.
Great stuff. The Lansing Legends in the house, fellas. Thank you so much for your
appreciate
time, all right?
Appreciate it, man. Appreciate
you got it. Let's hit our final break when we come back. We'll play a bit of what Mark D'Antonio had to say this morning at the Time and Loopy Izzo Center. Again, Michigan State football getting ready for the big matchup against in-state rivalry against U of M. All right, we'll play that for you, and then we'll bid you all adieu. You are listening to WKAR's Current Sports. All right, as promised, I want to throw directly right now to some of the audio from this morning's Mark D'Antonio press conference as Mark D'Antonio previews the upcoming matchup against in-state rival Michigan Saturday at noon at Spartan Stadium. Here's a bit of what Coach D had to say.
Coming off last week's game against Penn State, obviously 4-2. And have a big challenge in front of us now as we come into this week. UM comes in here, Michigan comes in here 6-1, 4-0 in the Big Ten. I think they're playing outstanding, ranked in the top 10 in the country, which deservedly so. And again, it'll be a challenge. When you look at them, I think you look at them defensively, a lot of starters back, you know, two linebackers back that start, entire secondary, you know, really three out of their top four guys up front playing very well on the defensive side of the ball, obviously. A lot of pressure. leading the nation, I think, in pass defense, various other things in the Big Ten. Offensively, quarterbacks playing well, running the football successfully, big play offense in a lot of respects. So very well-coached football team, and we'll be challenged as always. That's what you get in this conference. I think when you look at it, obviously it's a noon game. It's a rivalry game. And when you look at it, a lot's been said and all that kind of stuff. But when you look at it, I think it's good for college football. I always have. And I also think it's good for the state of Michigan. Gets everybody's enthused. And I'll take some questions and go from there. No questions. Man, that's unbelievable.
Coach, just a brief look back at Penn State. Defending a quarterback dual threat like Trace McSorley, you'll see somebody similar in Shea Patterson, but you held him to his second lowest yardage total combined on the season. The lowest was Pitt and Pat Narduzzi. Is there any comparing of notes, conversations that take place with an ally like Pat Narduzzi when you're preparing for an opponent?
Yeah, we talked to Pat. You know, I think Mike Kressel talked to Coach Narduzzi a little bit, and I touched base with him through text a little bit, but I think that's sort of common. You know, you look for people that are similar in what you've done and those type of things, and you look to see how people play people. And, you know, you're looking at people that play a 30 front as opposed to a 40 front, and, you know, you look for commonalities, I think, across the board. And the biggest one is obviously what you do against that particular team year in and year out. Excuse me, if their coaching staff hasn't changed or their coordinators haven't changed, if they're still using the same type of players, and, you know, so you sort of get a history. And I think usually history is the best indicator of the future. And, you know, when you look at things like that across the board, I mean, that's, of course, everybody else knows that, so they change. So it's, that's why you coach.
Mark, obviously 8-3 against Michigan in your career. Your three losses are only by, I think, combined 15 points. How have you been able to get your guys to buy in to, you know, treating this game, just getting up for this game every week over such a long period of time without ever really having a letdown?
Well, I think one of the biggest reasons is that when I came here in 1995, you know, I experienced things firsthand at the start when Coach Saban was here. And so I understood when I came back as a head football coach that how important this game was to our fans, to the state. And, you know, sort of went with it from there. We got a lot of players from the state of Michigan. They understand that as well. And so it becomes sort of ingrained in people as you go. And we just sort of point towards it. And try and do our very, very best.
Mark, you've mentioned a number of times how this is personal. Did it become more personal for you in 07, or was it personal the first time you stepped on campus here?
No, I think you learn these things, you know, as you go forward. You know, you play your first game in any rivalry situation. I remember playing our first game at, you know, I was at South Carolina playing Clemson, you know, and it was a big game down there, huge game. And everybody talked about it and told you about it, and you really didn't know what to expect. But when you played in that football game for the first time, you understood after the fact. And I think that's the same thing here. You sort of understand after the fact. So after the 95 game, I understood. And then I just sort of brought it forward. And I think, though, that it's a game like a lot of games where you just remember that, you know, like I told you before, you know, I've coached over 150 games here as a head coach. You sort of tend to remember those games that are special games leading up to the game, you know, whether it's a bowl game or whether it's a big game against Penn State last week or whatever it is, you know, you tend to remember those, and I think this game sort of points in that direction. Couldn't hurt. I don't know. There are things that go along, you know. I'll tell you one thing about the three games that we've had, 15, 16, and 17. I think that they've been played with great sportsmanship on the field. I really do. There's not, you know, everybody's playing hard, and I think that's good for college football.
All right. As we close out the hour here, and again, that was Mark D'Antonio, just a bit of what he had to say during this morning's press conference previewing the Michigan State and Michigan matchup. Again, our very own Zachary Swiezicki will have a write-up, and we'll have audio present on our website at WKAR.org. We'll also have sound bites from the three captains, Brian Lewerke, Joe Bocci, and Kari Willis. As we come up close to 2 p.m. here, I want to get one call in. It's our dear friend, Ray from Indiana, who I would guess we'll probably hear from Ray, seeing as though it's rivalry week. We'll hear from Ray just about every day this week. Ray, what's up, man?
Go Spartans, beat the bullies!
We got to save that for a drop, Jack. You got that one?
Hey!
Yeah, what's up?
They had a guy, they talked about the bullies were talking in the paper up here in Fort Wayne, Indiana, saying they're coming down to get you. They're 2-8 and they're tired of it.
who said that, Ray? Which bullies in particular?
Marshall, the defense, he said, we're 2-8, we're coming up to get them.
Well, I did hear something from Chase Winovich. He did say that they're on a revenge tour, and I don't think – but, you know, you really didn't hear anything, you know, like very vengeful from Michigan yesterday. I think Jim Harbaugh has basically told his players, look, don't talk any trash. Just play the game and leave it out in the field. I think that's where they're coming from, right?
Are we going to get any players back for the bullies?
I don't know. Mark D'Antonio didn't really give us anything this morning when it comes to his roster. He didn't even release – a depth chart, Ray. So we don't know if LJ Scott.
What's going on with Nick Bosa leaving Michigan?
Yeah,
Ohio State.
Nick Bosa, and can you blame him? Though, Ray. Can you blame him? I mean, this dude is already going to be a shoe-in as a high first round draft pick. He doesn't want to risk further injury.
I want him to play against the bullies.
Yeah, but he's not worried about that. He's worried about Moolah right now. He wants to go to the NFL, and I can't blame him.
I know.
You know,
I think we'll still have enough to take them. I just hope you guys got enough to take them. But you guys got to get fired up, and you got to stop that running that quarterback from running all over you.
Shea Patterson,
Penn
State
had an 80-yard run against him. He had an 80-yard run. If he comes out of the pocket, you've got to drill him.
All right. Well, Ray, I want some more analysis on tomorrow's show. You're going to call in tomorrow.
So we got to get a running game going. And we got to keep the ball away from them and get some touchdowns.
Ray from Indiana. Ray, thank you so much.
All right, buddy.
My man Ray from Indiana. You know he's going to bring the heat. You know Ray is going to bring the heat. All right, folks. We'll see you same time, same place on the Wednesday version of WKAR's Current Sports. Until then, we are on a 23-hour break. Be easy, people.